This week on Peace to Live By.
We definitely have to spend time in prayer with God if we want to be close to Him. I mean, after all, why wouldn't we want to be close to God? He loves us and cares for us. As long as we have a healthy view of God in our minds, we should want to draw near to Him.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Let's hear Daniel tell us more about the message today. Daniel?
Thank you, Wayne. Today I'm going to give some advice for young people in living the Christian life. I talk about some good practices that are good for daily living in different settings that young adults in Christ find themselves. I hope this information to be both review and beneficial to younger people today, and a lot of it is even relevant to older folks. I pray that as we think about these things, that we will look for areas in which God is speaking to us today, and hopefully we will make change where change is needed. Let us also set aside some time to fellowship with God about these matters where we feel convicted. I also want to note that next week I will be re-airing the address I gave about being thankful for George Washington, as next Sunday falls on Washington's birthday, of course. If you didn't hear this episode in the past, I would encourage you to tune in and learn some insight into the faith of our chief forefather, the founder of our country.
Thanks, Daniel. Now let's listen to today's message.
Well, it's true. I'm about to turn 31 years old. As I am about to venture up into the 30s and leave behind my younger years, I thought it would be good to share some tips and advice to the young Christians out there today on how to try to live a successful, God-centered life, a life pleasing to God. There are some things that I have found to be beneficial over the years. Now, this advice is very basic, but I think that going over it will be helpful and can gear younger people in the right direction, and perhaps even encourage those who are already on the right path. There are 10 things I want to mention, 10 pointers. They are in no particular order, but they are 10 things that I believe to be important to living a successful Christian life as a young person. They are as follows. Number 1, read the Bible and pray to God every day. Number 2, have at least one close Christian friend, and preferably more. Number 3, be regularly attending church and be involved. Number 4, spend time with your family when possible. Number 5, take responsibility for taking care of yourself. Number 6, abstain from sexual immorality. Number 7, be careful when you are dating. Number 8, don't hang out with the wrong people. Number 9, avoid too much time on Facebook. And number 10, watch your money and spending. So let's review these 10 pointers to try to live a successful Christian life as young people, young Christians. So number 1, read the Bible and pray to God every day. If we are going to live successful lives, we have to be familiar with our Bibles. The only way we can do that is to immerse our minds in it, preferably on a daily basis. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." You don't have to become legalistic about this, but you should read the Bible every day. Now, I will admit that sometimes I go through a book about the Bible for a period of time as my daily devotion, but the book should be talking about biblical things, so you are immersing yourself in the Bible. We have to know God's truth frontwards and backwards if we want to be pleasing to Him and take care of ourselves at the same time. The second part of this involves praying to God every day. We definitely have to spend time in prayer with God if we want to be close to Him and see successes in our lives. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." I mean, after all, why wouldn't we want to be close to God? He loves us and cares for us. As long as we have a healthy view of God in our minds, we should want to draw near to Him. Plus, if we want people around us to know the truth or to be helped, we have to pray these things to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And we should always be thankful to God for the many blessings that we have in our lives. So number two, we have to have at least one close Christian friend in our lives, and preferably we will have more than that, obviously. Since my generation is so social, it is important for us as individuals to be in a close friendship with at least one Christian friend. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." It is important to share this fellowship, to do things with the person, to have this person we can trust in our lives. Now, hopefully, we have a group of Christian friends we can hang out with, whether it be from church or college, and if you are in a secular high school, perhaps you've been able to become friends with other Christians there, but this may be a little more difficult. So if you're in a secular high school, you're really going to have to be involved in your church. For those of you who are out of high school and college, most workplaces aren't going to provide a lot of opportunity to make Christian friends. Now, sometimes you can, it just depends on your particular situation. Which leads to my next point. My next point, number three, ties into the last point, and that is, as young people, we should be attending church regularly and be involved in ministries as our time allows. It is important to go to church on Sunday mornings so that we can express our worship to God and be gathering together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ of all ages. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 tells us, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Youth groups are also good, as they narrow in on our specific age group and provide opportunity to make friends and fellowship with those who are similar in age and in beliefs. Plus, if you get involved helping at church with others, this provides good opportunities to make Christian friends as well, and it provides service to God, which is also important. If we are part of the church, if we are Christian, God wants us to be helping our fellow Christians. Now, number four, it is important for young Christians to spend time with their families, assuming you are not married yet, to care for them. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, this is a pretty strong passage, and it is talking about specifically providing for your family monetarily, but don't you think that if later on in life we are to help our parents monetarily, if needed, when they are older, shouldn't we care about spending time with them now? It seems like with many young people in our society, parents are viewed as uncool and to be avoided in many situations. But this is not the way the Christian should be thinking. It is good to spend time doing things with your mom and dad from time to time, when opportunity allows or when you want to. Now, of course, your parents should not still be parenting over you, telling you all that you have to do. Once you're grown up, it's time for you to make the right choices and run your own life. I also understand that many young people have relocated for their careers, and obviously, they won't be able to spend as much time with their families. And that's understandable. Even in the times of Jesus, people would often move around to different areas to gain better opportunities for themselves. But young people should try to find time for their parents or siblings when possible. Also, if your grandparents are alive, it is important for you to spend time with them as well. Often in our society, it seems like the older people get, the more they can be neglected by their loved ones, unfortunately. But this is not the way it is supposed to be. It is amazing what we can learn from our grandparents. It is usually the case that they have a lot of wisdom to give to us, but we just won't spend the time with them to learn that wisdom and to learn about the history of all they have to tell us. Just because they may not be able to talk as quick doesn't mean they still don't need to be loved. Of course they do. They need more love. And that leads me to my next point, number 5, which is young people have to take responsibility for taking care of themselves. Now, the age at which this responsibility transfers will vary from person to person, as there isn't one set universal standard for all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us to, quote, be dependent on no one, end of quote. For each person, there comes a time when you have to move out of the house to take care of yourself. It seems reasonable for most that this should occur by age 30, as even psychologists recognize the emerging adulthood period, which we'll say is between ages 18 to 30 years old, being generous. Many people will move back home after college is over, and sometimes they stay there for a few years, but we should be on our own for most by age 30. So, number 6, as we will be on our own until we get married, many will be living with friends, and it is important to keep watch on our purity and stay sexually pure. As you have more and more freedoms in college and then living on your own after college, temptations in this area are undoubtedly going to come. Hopefully, if we have surrounded ourselves with Christians, or at least one solid Christian friend who's close to us, the temptations will be less. It is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in a passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. But even in dating, you need to keep an extra close watch on yourself. I would personally advise you to only have roommates of the same sex. I know a lot of people in my generation feel that it's okay to have roommates who are of the opposite sex when you are on the same page, that being that you're not interested in each other beyond being friends. But I just don't think it's a good idea for people to live with each other who are of the opposite sex as friends. It seems to me that you are just going to be opening the door for possible temptation, especially when you are at a low point or low time, as we all experience lows from time to time. Even if you are not interested in the person as an interest could develop over time as you are around the person more and more. So again, I would advise people not to have roommates of the opposite sex. It just doesn't seem wise. Number 7, I want to state advice for dating, particularly that we, as young people, young Christians, that we remain pure when we are dating. You have to decide your boundaries with your Christian boyfriend or girlfriend before you find yourself in any type of situation. You have to decide beforehand that you're not going to go too far with a person whom you are interested in, whom you are dating. Since you are going to be spending a lot of time together, and some of that time all alone, you'll want to make sure you have the proper rules in place. God wants us as people to stay pure and to wait for any sexual activity until we are married. This is what is pleasing to Him and beneficial to us. It is not good to be involved intimately before marriage because, besides the fact that God said don't do it, it could lead to a number of negative consequences. You may not even end up marrying the person you are dating, obviously, so you want to make sure to reserve sex for marriage, and I would advise you to never have a girl at your residence by yourself who isn't saved, who isn't a Christian. And that goes for you too, ladies. Don't have a guy at your place who isn't a Christian. This rule will definitely help you. But even this doesn't guarantee purity. Number 8, it is important also for us as young people to make sure that we don't hang out with the wrong people. We can have unsaved friends, but that shouldn't be our primary friends or the only friends in our lives. The following is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, what accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever, what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. It is important that we are not running around with non-believers all the time. It is important to witness to them when you see good opportunity, but watch yourself, lest they end up leading you down the wrong path versus you actually helping them. If you are a person who is easily led astray, you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time hanging out with unbelievers. When you hang out with unbelievers, they may pressure you into doing things like drinking or smoking or even something worse. Of course, it's not wrong to drink alcohol, provided that you don't get drunk. But in a social setting with unbelievers, it's probably best that you don't drink alcohol, unless you're a mature Christian, long in the faith, with good self-control. But you have to decide beforehand how much you will drink. Nonetheless, it is good to avoid being in peer pressure situations when possible. You don't need to go with your unsaved friends to a bar in order to witness Jesus to them. You can do that in other settings. It's more likely that the bad company they are providing you will corrupt your good morals, not your good company making them become good. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. But make sure you are firm when peer pressure comes, standing your ground with what God wants and what you know is right. If you have to, leave the situation. Try to work Jesus into your conversations with unbelievers when possible. We should let our light shine before others, as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. Now, undoubtedly, when you talk about Christian things, you will from time to time get into heated discussions about certain topics. Peter told us, and your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. That was 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. Now, this doesn't mean that we should avoid hard truths, and while it is good to state your points as clearly as you can, don't state your defense to the point of belittling or forcing your view on the other person. You shouldn't end the conversation mad at each other by any means, or at least you should not be mad. Our job is simply to state the truth, God's truth, and let God work in the person's thoughts and life based off what we have said. Now, number 9 won't be relevant to everyone, but will be to most, and that is, avoid spending too much time on Facebook. The people of my generation have put a great emphasis on being very social. For many, even, their friends have become their gods, and their appearance before others, how they are perceived by others, etc., is of utmost importance. Facebook started to become more and more popular when I was in college, back in the mid and late 00s, and nowadays it has become a full-blown epidemic. People are obsessed with Facebook. Really, most of the time, all Facebook is keeping up with the rat race. It's all about comparing ourselves with others, seeing constantly how we measure up with our friends. But remember, what really matters is what God thinks of you, not what others think of you. It doesn't matter if you don't have all the things that your friends have. You don't have to have a nice house, or a husband or a wife, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. God will provide those things to you when the time is right, if it is His will. When I ask my counterparts about their Facebook usage, they'll usually say, "Oh, I'm not on there that much." If you're on Facebook, let's say, more than an hour a day, you have a problem. Why not try to have a regular, normal conversation with someone, or call the person? Many people on their Facebook accounts use what psychologists call selective bias. That is when people show you what they want you to see and totally leave out other important facts. Don't get me wrong, we all do this to an extent, but in the Facebook world, it has become a huge problem. For the record, I spend less than an hour a week on Facebook because really, it doesn't matter. And really, people shouldn't spend more than, say, an hour a day on there, and I think that's being generous. Okay, now that I've gone through that rant, finally, number 10, you should watch your money you're spending. In order to be successful in life, it is important to handle your money correctly. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 states, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." This means not to buy things we can't afford and to establish a good amount of money saved up in our bank account. You don't want to live paycheck by paycheck, always trying to get by if possible. You may have to go through a period in your life where you can't spend as much money as you would like to, but typically most go through that kind of period at some point in their lives. But it is also important not to be a penny pincher, not to hoard so much money that you won't spend any at all. If God has given you excess money, He has given it to us to enjoy. You should go out to eat or buy something that you want to buy. That's a good thing. Just don't spend so much that it jeopardizes your living. In closing today, it is important to remember that God wants all people to be in a personal relationship with Him. Maybe today you're a young person who is not in relationship with God. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you always wanted to follow good things. You always wanted to go along with the right crowd, but you never did. Perhaps you've gone far in the other direction, far away from God. Perhaps you feel you've dabbled in things that God couldn't possibly forgive you for. Well, today I've got good news for you. God sent his son, Jesus, to the earth some 2,000 years ago, and he paid the penalty for all people's sins against God, as he was the perfect sacrifice for sins. Anyone, which includes you today, who believes in Jesus can be forgiven of all his or her sins against God, the wrong things we have done in this life, and can be set free from the dominant pull of sin. You don't have to carry the load and weight of your sins any longer. You don't have to live doing the things that are wrong, which you know are wrong. God has made it possible for you to live in true freedom, the freedom you were originally intended to live in. And not only are you able to live a true life, a fulfilling life, but you will also be given eternal life. Since your sins will be forgiven, you will not have to face any of God's wrath to come in the future. There will be no chance of hell for you in the future. If you would like to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today and be set free from your sins, then just follow my lead in this prayer. God, I have done many things against you in my life. I have not done things I am proud of, and I have done things I deeply regret. I have done things the way I have wanted to do them, and it has not turned out so great. But now, I want to accept your free gift life right now, and eternal life in the future through Jesus Christ. I believe that you sent Jesus to the earth, and that he died on the cross in my place, and that this action by Jesus, the blood he shed, now stands as a payment for my sins which separated me and you. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and that he is now with you in heaven. I want to surrender my life over to you. Father, please transform my life and make me become like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love today and for your guidance in our lives, guiding us down right paths and towards your goodness, helping us along each of our journeys. You love us and you continually show your love for us day after day. I love you, Father. You guide us to do what is pleasing to you and what is beneficial and best for us, even when we don't see it. Holy Father, I pray that you would continue to guide each of us who know you, those of us who have committed our lives to you. Please renew our strength, help us in our struggle against sin, and help us to become more like Jesus in our lives. I pray for those who have accepted Jesus today as their personal Lord and Savior, that you will lead them down the right paths. Show them your goodness, as you already have, and help them to learn your ways, which are the right ways, the correct ways, the ways that are best for us and pleasing to you. Bless them, Father, and bring the work you have started today to completion in them. I pray all of this in Jesus' name, the one true God who lives forever and ever. In his holy name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. You're listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download, listen, or read entire messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. There's also a link at the bottom of the website you can click to send us an email. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby and be sure to hit the like button. We love feedback from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. The messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. Again, the web address for Peace to Live By is peacetoliveby.org. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week with another episode of Peace to Live By. Thank you. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry in Powell, Ohio.